This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:07 on the evening edition with Kelvin, Hezriel, and Cam. It is now 7:12, and we are talking about how military votes affect election outcomes. This comes amid a controversial remarks by Dato' Mohamadin Ketapi, a Lahad Datu MP and a warisan candidate in Sabah's state elections. During campaigning, he had said that the 2013 Lahad Datu incursion by militants was a staged act. And for context, you know, he said that this was by the then Barisan National Government to get votes from Sabahans during the 13th general election.
Yeah, and this has had some consequences. Bukit Aman, first off, is planning on contacting the MP to question him. And on the campaign trail, it's put a possible dent on Warisan Plus's election campaign. Malay Mail reported that as a result, Warisan is likely to have lost nearly 90% of military votes, which includes police voters. In total, there are close to 17,000 military voters in Sabah who participated in early voting just yesterday.
Now, Dr. Seri Shafi Abdal, president of Warisan, has since apologized for Dato' Mohamadin's statement, saying that his remarks were misunderstood and had no intention of offending security forces. But I honestly think it might just be a little too late.
Well, I've tried to find any kind of research on scrutinizing the military vote, and I haven't really been able to find anything. But I would say that anecdotally, I was in Labuan recently, and I was talking there. We were breaking down the election figures and looking at the military vote and how in Labuan anyway, that military vote, some of it had gone to PAS. And what came up was that, of course, military people come from different places. But in the case of Sabah, you're going to have a lot of Semenanjung military people. So who are conditioned by, yes, their job in the military, but also by their Peninsular Malaysia upbringings. And for them, Sabah issues, Warisan issues might be a very different, alien, not terribly interesting subject anyway. I don't think we can look at the military vote as a block. And I think that a broad statement like losing 90% of the military vote is that's a sweeping statement. But if it can be proved, though, then that would be fascinating.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about, you know, how perhaps different issues translate differently to military voters than, say, people, you know, in the countryside or people working in other sectors, right? And there are things like housing conditions for the police. There are things like the how the government continues to take care of them, and that's the thing, right? That the military, the security personnel have always had a very intimate relationship with the government, regardless of who's in power. But I'm just looking at the establishment, right, and the things and how they rely on each other for security and benefits and their well-being. So it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Especially when we consider that for the large part of our history, BN, Barisan National, has filled that role and has that very, very sort of, I guess, tight relationship in terms of the number of years they've been together or been working together, rather.
So after this, we're going to get a deeper understanding of the military vote, not the military and police vote, from Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at Ilham Center. So stay tuned for that conversation. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is almost 7:18. You're with Kelvin, Hezriel, and Cam on Evening Edition, and we're talking about how the police and the military vote and how they affect election outcomes. And this is coming after some controversial comments from by Dato' Mohamadin Ketapi, who is a Lahad Datu MP and also running in the Sabah state elections. We're now going to cross over to Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at Ilham Center. Dr. Hamidin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So looking at the track record from the past, how much impact do military and police votes have in our elections?
Okay. Normally, in the past, the what we call postal vote, especially among the military, among the uniform body, is not that much in terms of numbers. Normally, it's very much small percentage of the numbers belong to them. Like in case of Sabah, for example, out of 1.124 million voters, only around 20,000 from the military and police. However, based on their standing in the community, normally their opinions on elections, on politics, does matter to the people.
Mm. And do they make up a significant percentage of the voter base?
Yeah, it is make up quite a very small number, but depend, as I said just now, depend on the areas. Like in case of Sabah, because of the remoteness of the areas, I don't think we will get a strong impact. But in certain areas, like in Sepanga and Kulawi, definitely that will give a big impact on constituency there.
So based on past elections, what are the trends you found in terms of which parties security personnel vote for?
Normally, yeah, traditionally or historically, they're always on the side of the government of the day. But in case in Sabah, it's a bit difficult because Warisan has only been there for the past less than 34 months. So I think it's very difficult to see the inclination of the uniform men on that regard. But normally, they will stick with the government of the day. And then you can see the relationship between the uniform and the Barisan National Government, I think, for the past couple of general elections that shows strong support to the government to the BN before. Yeah.
And overall, what are the key concerns and issues of this voting bloc?
Normally, if you look at when it comes to uniform military and police, basically it's their welfare. I think that's always been the concerns of them. And then this is where, if you look in the past history, when it comes to elections, the military and police normally will get what we call it in Malaysia as durian runtuh from the government. They will be rewarded with many things, especially in terms of their welfare, new headquarters, etc. So this is that's partly normally what's enticing them to the government of the day.
Right, and which governments have had a stronger track record with military and police voters? And obviously, Barisan Nasional has filled up the large part of our history in terms of governing. So maybe I might tweak that and change that to perhaps state governments or certain state administrations that might be dealing with the military.
Normally with the military, I think they always stick with the federal government. This is what we notice. Normally they will stick with the federal government because they are under the federal government, not on the state government. So most of their concern is about who will rule the government, the federal government. So most of their concerns, most of their affiliation is very much with the federal government. So normally, I don't think state government have much thing to do with the uniform bodies in Malaysia. So in that case, normally the federal government will have the advantage in touching up. Remember, I think in the last election, even when the state leaders visit the military camp, it became a big issue to the opposition because it seems kind of encroachment of the federal ministry's issues. Yeah.
But Sabah may be its own, perhaps unique situation. Mm. Have there been any trends that you've noticed for the military vote over past elections?
Yes, we noticed that, for example, on the last PRU, there is quite a strong vote against the Barisan Nasional. That we noticed. And in fact, we noticed in a couple of PRU, even the by elections after the PRU, we noticed that there is some dissent among the personnel officer when it comes to their votes. So this is a very good, healthy democracy that we're seeing happen among the uniform bodies, where they are very much no longer kind of inclined with the government of the day. They are willing to cast a vote against the government of the day. Yes, we see some tendency towards that, especially after the PRU, the last general election.
What are the current stakes for Warisan in the context of military support after the Ketapi's comment on the Lahad Datu incident?
Yeah, I was in Sabah. I was in Kota Kinabalu when the the statement was made. And interestingly enough, I have some friends who in the uniform bodies who was involved in the Hadar too. And what surprised me when his remark is very much they didn't take it seriously, and they take it more as a funny character, Muhammad Qatafi is. That's what surprised me. But definitely, I think it will have an impact. But I'm not sure. How much is the impact? But definitely, they are not happy with it. That is very much clear. That's why I think that triggered Shafi Afdal to make a statement after that.
Right, and I guess to that so you're not clear, you're not perhaps certain what kind of impact that will have on Warisan's chances. But I think you know what perhaps can Warisan do to make up. For that statement, you know, were the apologies enough? Correct. I guess is what I'm getting.
I think this is interesting when we look at a state election in Sabah. For us, when we look at the state election in Sabah, it's very much a 73 by elections. It's not very much a one big wave that we expect that can make a strong big statement that can change the course of the campaign, the course of the direction of the elections. Yes, Muhammad Qatafi made a very bad statement. Definitely will impact Warisan. Does that will impact generally the PRN? I don't think so. I think it will impact definitely among the military, but does that will derail the for example Warisan campaign? It will take time from Warisan campaign to apologize or to make up for that mistake. I don't think so. I think they will stick to their approach and strategy where they treat each constituency differently. I think that's what's unique about state election in Sabah.
Can I ask a question? Now that we have you and I got an opportunity to find out something more All about right. the military vote, is it possible to, can we be talking about a military vote, a military bloc? As a voting block.
Yes, we can. When we look at when we analyze normally when we analyze the voting patterns, definitely the uniform, especially the military and the police, we can see there is two separate kind of behavior among them. But the one that I see that more inclined to the government is very much among the police. Among the military, if you can see, there is a lot of resentment towards the government of the day. It's very clear in the past history we noticed there is some dissent in terms of voting among the military rather than among the police. So they can be considered as in my point of view, as one big bloc. Among the military, we can definitely lump them together with the police. In case of Sabah, we have around 20 over 1,000, and almost half of that is among the military men, especially in the TLDM Ispanga and veteran in Koh Lawi.
Dr. Hamidin, thank you so much for those insights.
All right, thank you.
That was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, research fellow at Ilham Center, talking to us about military and police votes and how they affect election outcomes, specifically within the context of Sabah. If you have any thoughts, you can send them to us. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 0187898899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.